Hey, everybody. This morning, I found an article on Business Insider about a book called Die with Zero. Now, I've heard about this book for a few years now, and I think the concept is interesting. The premise here is that the author is a person who, quote, hopes he runs out of money before he dies. And this book is about why you might not need as much money to retire as you think. So I have not read this book, full disclosure, but the concept is kind of interesting. And so I'm going to share this article with you. So it begins, author Bill Perkins hopes to run out of money in retirement. While he has saved for retirement and hopes to use that money, he hopes to really use it. He wants to spend his balance down to nothing. Instead of leaving a large inheritance, he'd rather use his money on experiences, helping his children while they're starting out, and spending the money on his needs. The article continues, while it goes against traditional retirement planning logic, Perkins says that people may be saving too much for retirement, holding them back from living and having meaningful experiences while they're able. While that comes at the expense of saving more for later, that might not be a bad thing. So there's four main premises in the book that he covers. And those are, number one, net worth tends to increase in retirement. Okay, that's not really that surprising. Two, healthcare costs are high, but no amount of money can cover the worst case scenarios. Number three, it's easier than you think to decrease your expenses later on. And four, most people only spend a portion of what they have saved. So let's go through these because this is pretty interesting stuff. So number one, net worth tends to increase in retirement. Net worth, or a total of all of your assets minus any loans or debt, tends to increase with age, and that includes into the retirement years. Perkins writes that about a third of retirees actually see their net worth increase in retirement. So the median net worth for those over the age of 75 was $281,000 compared to $237,000 between 65 and 74. So that's interesting stuff. And if you're investing right, and if you're going by the 4% rule throughout your retirement, there's a really high likelihood that you're going to die with more money than you had entering retirement. Okay, next up, healthcare costs are a major expense in retirement, and for many, a big surprise when it comes to retirement plan savings. But Perkins says it's not worth worrying about. Quote, to put it bluntly, no amount of savings available to most people will cover the costliest healthcare you might possibly need, he writes. He cites multi-million dollar cancer treatments and his father's $50,000 per night hospital stays as examples. While Medicare and its supplements can make healthcare more affordable, there's no way to save for the worst possible scenarios. Quote, uninsured medical care is so expensive, it won't make any real difference for the mass majority of us, whether we save for it or not, he writes. Ultimately, Perkins feels this money is better spent when you're younger. Quote, it is much smarter to spend your healthcare money on the front end to maintain your health and try to prevent disease than to spend it at the end when you get a lot less bang for every buck, he writes. Okay, so, you know, this is kind of a hard position to take because ultimately, if you are insured, if you do have a good Medicare supplement, I know that I've seen my dad go through crazy stuff. I mean, I'm talking brain surgery, literally brain surgery, double heart attacks, being life flighted hundreds of miles, which is fucking expensive. I mean, and his out of pocket was basically nothing. So it seems to me like, I mean, again, I don't know what happens when, and you have your annual maximums and all that. I don't understand what he's really talking about. If he is talking about being uninsured, well, hell, don't be uninsured. But you help me out on this, you know, write Matt at Rogue Retirement Lounge. If you have examples where people are fully insured, but yet they're getting bankrupted by insane costs. So anyway, number three, it's easier than you think to decrease your expenses later on. Okay, now this makes sense. Quote, the median ratio of household spending to household income hovers around 1-to-1. This means that people's spending continues to closely track their income. Despite the fact that some items do get more expensive, take healthcare as an example, other things get cheaper. Perkins cites 2017 consumer expenditures survey data where average spending for households age 55 to 64 spent $64,000. 64 to 74-year-olds spent $55,000, okay, down from 64 to 55, and those 75 and older spent only $42,000 on average. Okay, again, this makes perfect sense. When you're planning for your retirement, there's a very good chance that when you're under 65, you're going to be traveling a lot. Hell, maybe you're single and you might be still be going out, spending a lot on cocktails and getting it on. And then when you're 65 to 74, you might start slowing down, spend a little less, travel a few fewer times a year. And then when you're 75 and older, you might kind of cocoon up and hang out at home. You know, I've seen it with parents and grandparents. So this makes perfect sense. Quote, this overall decline occurred despite a rise in healthcare expenses because most other expenses, such as clothing and entertainment, were much lower, Perkins writes. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, next up, number four. Most people only spend a portion of what they saved. Perkins' book repeats the fact that most people only touch a portion of what they've saved. To prove this, Perkins collected data from a range of retirement budgets. Quote, retirees who had $500,000 or more right before retirement had spent down only a median of only 11.5% of that money 20 years later by the time that they died. And this pattern held true even for those with smaller savings. Retirees with less than $200,000 saved up for retirement had spent down only one quarter of their assets 18 years after retirement. Okay, so you put all that together and it makes sense that you might try to kind of, maybe not spend as much as you think you need for retirement and have more fun before you retire. Or you might blow it out those first 5 to 10 years of retirement, really have a good time and fly business class and do all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's an interesting concept to think about when someone like me, I'm so security focused. I'm nuts. I'm looking at my portfolio every single day. I get statements from my real estate syndications every month, and I read those stem to stern. I look at the value of my loan rental house that I still own. I look at that value probably twice a month, you know, just to see what's going on in the market. Anyway, I'm obsessed with watching this stuff and watching it grow. And it's very unhealthy, don't get me wrong. But the idea that maybe I shouldn't be A, so obsessed with it, but B, that I should maybe be spending more now rather than be worried about the security is intriguing. But it's unfortunately, it's not going to change my strategy because while I like the idea of dying with zero, letter A, I don't know when I'm going to die. So I want to have a pretty good buffer in case I end up living to 105, which is very possible. I've had family members live over 100. And so who knows how long I'm going to live. But also, if you don't have long-term care insurance, what about that? You know, there was no mention of long-term care in here. And so if you kind of are self-insuring for long-term care, which that's what I'm doing, you know, you need to have an extra, probably by the time I'm 94, you need to have probably an extra million just kind of put aside for your long-term care, depending on how long you might be in there. What is it right now? On average, it's got to be at least for a decent place. Believe me, I've seen the shitty places and I've seen the good places as I went through this with my mom. If you're talking about long-term care, they probably say that it's average of, say $4,000 a month right now. But if you want something decent, it's going to be probably $15,000 a month. By the time I'm there, it's probably going to be 25, I would guess, or more. And you're going to want to be in the best place you can possibly be because the people that they hire, bless their hearts, in many cases are shit. And again, I'm saying this from firsthand experience. So he leaves that thing out. And so it makes me wonder. So I would like to learn a little bit more about him and kind of where he's coming from. So I looked him up, and this guy is named Bill Perkins. And so get this. Okay. After studying electrical engineering at University of Iowa, Perkins trained on Wall Street and later moved to Houston, Texas, where he made a fortune as an energy trader. Okay, at the age of 51, Perkins's professional life includes work as a hedge fund manager with more than $120 million in assets, Hollywood film producer, high-stakes tournament poker player, and resident quote-unquote Indiana Jones for several charities. So Perkins manages this via smartphone on his yacht in the U.S. Virgin Islands while traveling the world with close friends and family. Okay, people need to know that before they read this book, because it's a whole world of difference to kind of quote unquote die with zero, because zero to him is going to be tens, if not more, millions of dollars. Your puny $2.5 to $3 million nest egg that you saved up all your life for is a rounding error compared to his. He's never going to worry about whether or not he can afford long-term care in a kick-ass place that's really going to take care of his needs like we might. So that being the fact, you can see the kind of bias or the lens that he's looking through. And it makes perfect sense. If I'm fucking rich, then yeah, I know that I want to spend money while I can and really live it up. So that's exactly what he's doing. But I think overall, this might be bad advice for those of us who end up with nest eggs under, say, 3 to 4 million if you're retiring in the next 10 years. Anyway, that is all I wanted to say. I just, if someone wants to read that book and do a book report with me, definitely get back in touch. I'm sure there's a lot more to it than those 4 points that I made, but I'm not interested in reading that book because it's not going to change my crazy obsession with being secure and well overfunded in retirement. But if you do read it and you enjoy it and you get insights from it, definitely let me know. That's it for today. I love you all. We'll talk to you later. Oh, hey, and to my one listener in Ecuador, how are you? Thanks for listening.
Nothing in this podcast is meant to be financial, legal, or tax advice. Though there's some kick-ass information here, it's for informational purposes only. Take control of your retirement planning, but get professional counsel if you need tax, legal, or financial advice. For more content like this, join my mailing list at RogueRetirementLounge.com. And if you have questions about retirement investing, entrepreneurship, business, or anything else, my email address is matt@RogueRetirementLounge.com.